Okay, ready? So we are doing mitzvah Shefita B'tzedek. Here is the pasuk in Vayikra 19:15. Okay, Sefer HaChanuch mitzvah 235. Here we go. Lo sasu avol b'mishpat. Do not, here's Rav Hirsch's translation of it, do not do wrong in judgment. Sorry, that was a slide too soon. Lo sasu avol b'mishpat. Lo sisa p'nei dal. Do not give special consideration to one who has come down in the world, meaning like a poor person or like a nebuch person. That's what Rav Hirsch is telling us. V'lo tehedar penei gadol, and do not show preferential honor to the great. B'tzedek tishpot amisecha. Okay, so this is our mitzvah. The previous mission is actually lo sadar penei gadol, but here's ours. B'tzedek tishpot amisecha. With righteousness, you should judge your neighbor. Okay, judge your neighbor in accordance with justice. That's Rav Hirsch. Okay, so here's the question. How many, this mitzvah has three parts, okay? Here's the, what's it called? The, not the cliffhanger, the opposite of cliffhanger. Like, here's the, like, hint, okay? Whatever it is. And let's fill it in, okay? What are the three parts of this Mishnah? Who could figure it out? Look at the pasuk. Figure out the three parts of this Mishnah. By the way, not the first half of the pasuk, just the piece that's bolded and underlined. B'tzedek tishpot amisecha. This mitzvah includes three parts, just like last time it included two parts. This has a three-part mitzvah. What is it? One, two, or three. What could you fill in?
Well, specifically relating to Jews only.
Okay, very interesting. What does the amisecha mean, right? So good. So let's say it's Jews only, but like I think most mitzvos we assume are like mostly Jews only, or we have to have like some shot. Like, are you, you know? So Ayala's question is good, meaning what is the amisecha? Why? What does that specify? It's actually not going to come up neither in one, two, or three, but we're going to hit on it twice. In our discussion of it, and if we don't, Ayal, then I'll tell you afterwards. Okay, good. But what is the amisecha? Why is that specified? Is a good question. One, two, and three. Pshat and or drash. Like, what is this mitzvah talking about? What's it telling you to do or not to do?
Don't bribe people.
Don't bribe people. Okay, good. So Sarah is picking up on which part of the pasuk, Sarah.
Do not show preferential honor to the great, like that part.
Okay, good. So again, look on the screen. The first line that is not bolded, that's on top over here, I want you to ignore. That's actually, again, not quote-unquote, not necessary. It's going to come up in our mitzvah, but actually that's like the previous Mishnah, 234 in Sefer HaChanuch is lo tehadar p'nei gadol. But you're right, Sarah, meaning even in the quote, b'tzedek tishpot amisecha, which part of that did you just pick up and say, like, don't take bribery, slash, like, that kind of practice of justice? Which part of the pasuk? B'tzedek tishpot amisecha? What were you picking up on?
Tishpot, maybe? The like that? No? I could be wrong. Whatever you want.
Good. This is you're like looking for my facial expression here. Okay, good. Sarah, so you didn't notice that you were picking up on the b'tzedek piece, right? This isn't telling you tishpot amisecha, you should judge your neighbor. This is telling you b'tzedek tishpot amisecha, right? It's telling you how to judge someone. So Sarah is saying, very wisely, that's going to be two of three. Just kidding, it's going to be one of three, right? Number one is, this mitzvah is telling you how to judge somebody. You should judge them fairly, right? Fairly. B'tzedek. In fairness, in justice, there's some thing this pasuk is telling us how to judge other people. Okay, judge them fairly. Sarah, you're absolutely right. It's going to be basically in terms of, like, again, not taking bribery. What? How would you describe, Sarah and everyone else, how would you describe fairness in justice? When we talk about fairness and justice, what? Give me some examples. What would be fair judgment versus unfair judgment? In terms of, like, not favoring anyone, like Sarah is saying, it's not really not taking bribery, right? But it is.
Our jury system, although it's probably not so fair, but it's supposed to be fair. You have, like, your peers.
Well, that's an American court system.
I mean, you're judging someone based on their actions, not based on who they are.
Good. So tell me more about that, Ayelet.
I don't know where there is to say.
No, good. Exactly. You're absolutely right. Right?
I don't know.
Good. You're judging the action of the person. Good. Awesome. That's going to be rehearsed all the way at the end. We're going to get back to that. Very good, Ayala. Okay? You're judging the action and not the person. So again, just to give like a very, very like down-to-earth, earthy, like super greedy examples of this, this is about the treatment of the people who are coming to be judged. So what you're not allowed to do according to this mitzvah is that, like, let's say you have a poor person and a rich person who are both coming to court, right? Which again, the rest of the puzzle kind of implies this situation that you might have to deal with. You can't make either one of them stand and the other one sit. right? You can't say, well, this guy's like super honorable, so I'm going to let him stand. And the poor person, I mean, I'm going to have the poor person stand and the rich person is allowed to sit. And you can't do it the other way around. You can't like try to show favoritism. You can't be like, well, the rich man already has the advantage, so I'm going to make him stand and let the poor person sit. You can't do any of those cheshbonos. You can't let one of them tell their whole case and the other one you say to them, like, stop being so long-winded. Come on, cut it short. Let's go. Right? You're not allowed to do that kind of thing. Even to the point that if the rich person comes in dressed in like very fancy garb and the poor person comes in dressed in rags, you tell the rich person either you dress like him or you dress him like yourself, right? You're not even allowed to allow a semblance of unfairness enter your court room. You have to create a space in which everybody is absolutely equal before the judgment, before you, the judge. Okay. So that's the first piece of this. What else is implied in this mitzvah? What else is implied here? It's kind of hard. It's an assumption. What's the assumption, so to speak, of this? Did I say Mishnah? That's my habit from Pirkei Avos. What's in this pasuk?
What'd you say?
That it's
human nature to be biased.
Okay, good. Very. I should have been careful when asking about the assumption behind this pasuk with Ayala on the call. Yeah, exactly. Very good, Ayala. That's actually not what I meant. I meant the assumption here is that you should judge. Okay, so you should judge fairly is assuming that you should judge. So that's the second. One is judge fairly. Second is judge at all. If you are qualified to judge, you must do it. It is a mitzvah upon you to judge if you are qualified to judge. If there are other people qualified to judge, you should let them judge. I heard a story, Bifarish, from someone who was there, who it happened to, who said that he was at a wedding in which the Mesader Kedushin, like right before the chuppah, realized that the Kala was not Jewish because her like mother or her grandmother had an unfair conversion. It was like a legit, it wasn't like a some Baal Tshuva something like crazy scenario. It was like a very normal wedding. And right beforehand, he realized, again, for the whatever circumstances, that like her mother or her grandmother had like a non-kosher conversion. And the Mesader Kedushin had no idea what to do. So he faked a heart attack to get himself out of having to deal with situation because he did not know how to deal with situation. Okay, so whether or not, if he was the most qualified person to deal with it, that he would have been over, but said Daktishpo Damisefa, to judge a case in which you are a qualified person to judge it. If he was not qualified to do that, then he did the right thing in faking the heart attack. Fascinating story, right?
I see her face.
What'd you say?
We both like, we really want to know the outcome.
Yeah. Did someone else marry them or did someone else fake
them? I think someone else married them. I think someone else married them. I can check with the person who told me the story. He wasn't the one.
In the heart attack didn't be like, oh, by the way, like, maybe don't do that.
I think he thought that the next person to marry them would find out also and would just know how to deal with it. And he was just like, had no idea how to deal with it. I'll ask the person who told me the story. It was years ago. Who told me the story, like, what happened. I said to him, what would you have done? And he was like, you know, I probably would have done the same thing. He's like, I probably also would have faked a heart attack. Isn't that fascinating? Okay. Anyway, so that's a practical example of Shvita B'tzedek. Okay. If you are the right person to deal with that situation, you're not allowed to fake a heart attack to get out of it. Okay. The third, which is actually very confusing to get out of this pasuk, and it's not necessarily grounded in the words of the pasuk like the other two, is the mitzvah to be Damakav Schus. That to the everyday layman, here we go. Uh-oh. Hey, why can't I make this slideshow move? Hold on a second. My slideshow isn't moving. I have it. What? Come on. Sorry, guys. Technical difficulties because I don't know how to do this kind of thing. But I'm trying. Here we go. From current slide. Here we go. Okay, here are the three. According to Sefer Chinuch, okay, you have to make it equal in the courtroom. Both of them have to be equal. You can't give preferential treatment to either of them, neither the rich nor the poor. Two, if you're qualified, you must judge. Three, okay, everyone has to judge each other favorably. And you shouldn't interpret things that other people do, except well. So here's the challenge question. Here it is in English. I don't know why it's color-coded that way. Ah, okay, that's the correlation with the pasuk. Okay, betzedek and versus tishbot. Okay, here's the question. Which one of these is not like the other? Isn't there some sort of song like that when we're in preschool? Okay, which one of these does not belong and why? To judge without bias, to judge if you're qualified, and for the layman to judge our fellows favorably in everyday life. Which does not fit with the other ones and why?
Could you get another hint?
No, no more hints.
Maybe the last one?
Three.
Good, three doesn't fit. Good, why doesn't it fit? There are at least two reasons. Rehersh is going to give us a third all the way at the end. Why doesn't it fit? Three doesn't fit. Here we go. Boom. Three doesn't fit. Why not?
You're going from talking to professional, the nachrayas that they have, to then like talking to mamcha and whole people.
Very good. One and two assumes that we are judges. Three assumes that we're not judges. Let's make it even stronger. Three applies to everybody except for judges. Right? It's very weird. One and two, only judges. Three, everybody not judges. Judges are not allowed to judge people favorably. That's what we just said. Didn't we just say that? You cannot show anyone favor in the court systems. So one and two tell us, assume that we're judges. Three assumes that we're not a judge. What else? What else is the difference? What else is the problem? I mean, I basically just said it, okay? Right?
Sorry,
which is
I'm
that?
Confused.
Yeah, go ahead.
I lost the part. Who broke it down into these three parts, the Sefer HaKhanach?
Sefer HaKhanach.
Oh, okay.
Okay, these are like the three parts of this mitzvah. According to Sefer HaKhanach, but I think it's like basically how it's interpreted. Like Sefer HaKhanach is like quoting pieces from the Gemara who are quoting this as their sources for halacha, you know? Good, so those are the two problems, right? The first two are talking to judges, the third isn't. But the first two are telling you, what it's telling you to do is completely different. We have a massive problem with these three components of this mitzvah. Betzedek tishbot amisecha. That's what we learned to be done the kaf's klus from this pasuk. That's where we also learn to judge without bias, and we learn to judge. So not only are we assuming it's talking to different populations, like Ayelet says, but it's talking to mutually exclusive populations. It can't be talking to a judge who's also a layman or a layman who's also the judge, because then the two parts of the puzzle contradict each other. No? The first two are telling you what? What's the basic essence of number one and number two? It's telling you to do what? Not to... What'd you say?
Oh, no, what's happening in my mind, and I have a feeling it's not what you're going for, is that the first two are very din-oriented, and the third is very chesed-oriented.
Okay, good, I love that, right? That's like the personality behind the first two, right? The first two are talking about judgment, right? They have a certain harshness to them, right? Treat everybody equally, like Ayelet said, they walk into the courtroom and we don't care about who they are. Right? And the third one is like, judge everybody favorably. It has like a totally different personality. It's like a very chesed, very good, bracha, right? It feels different. There's a different flavor to it. But again, do you see that we really have like a really, really big question on this? It's not a little question. It's a huge question. The two parts of the mitzvah are not only like different, they're contradictory. The first two is telling us that the point of this mitzvah is to be completely unbiased in judgment. Don't show the rich man favor. Don't show the poor man favor, right? Rehersh gives an example that you can't say, listen, me and the rich man both have an obligation to support the poor person. So instead, I'll just find the poor person to be the right in din. And that way he gets the money from the rich man. He doesn't have to ask for tzedakah. Shkoyach. This is a great plan. You can't do that, right? You basically have to, like Ayelet said, exactly like she said in the beginning. You have to look at them as if they don't exist. As if the people behind the case are not there. That's what this is all about. They can't even look different in dress. That's too much.
I'm confused.
Go ahead.
I'm confused how Sefer HaKhanach got the basis for the differentiation between all three. Meaning, how did he learn from the word amitecha that means favorably?
So I don't know if he learned it from the pasuk, right? Meaning, I don't think that it's a good question, Ayala, and I will check myself and I will look it up because I'm not 100% sure. But it seems to me as I'm reading the Sefer HaKhanach and I haven't learned it Bishitaso, so I'm not 100% sure, but it seems to me that he's not darshaning out the pasuk and finding halacha, right? That's more, let's say, how Rambam does it. Sefer HaKhanach seems to be collecting what already exists out there in terms of the halachos that quote this pasuk as the source base of a mitzvah. So he quotes, let's go to the next slide, he quotes, here we are, in Shavuos 30a and 31a, which talk about different requirements of judgment, and who keep quoting this pasuk as their source pasuk. And Sefer HaKhanach quotes those Gemaras. Okay, so here we go to Sefer Chanach. Tanu Rabbanan, and he quotes Vayikra, B'tzedek tishpon ha-misecha, Shelo yehei echad yoshev, ve'echad omed, ve'echad medaber kol tzoracha, ve'echad omer lo, ketzar devarav, divrei acher b'tzedek tishpon ha-misecha, hebi donas eschavircha l'chaf schus. So that's a direct quote from Shavuos, 30a. Okay, here's 31a. L'shneim sheba'u l'den echad lovush smartutim, one of them is wearing rags, ve'echad lovush itz talis bas meyamana. Right, and the other one is wearing clothes that are 100 times more than ever the other guy wearing. Shem lo, lovush moso, l'chaf show kamoa. You tell him, you wear like him, or you dress him like you. Okay, so again, Sefer HaChanach seems to me, again, I'm not 100% sure, I will ask, because it's a good question, and it's kind of like a foundational question as we're launching into this. He's not darshaning the halacha himself. He's collecting the gemaras that have this mitzvah as a source, and reading it backwards, and telling us, therefore, this mitzvah is the root of these different halachos that we have, primary halachos. Yeah, does that make sense? Okay. Good, so here, okay, go back here. We get the contractor, and the third part of this, the third, but is saying he is too biased in judgment. No? That's what it's telling us. You should be biased in judgment. You just should be biased in which direction? Favorably, right? So the first two are to a judge telling him, you should not be biased. Bias should be your worst enemy in judgment. And the third is telling us, by the way, you should all be biased. Be biased. Don't be biased in judgment. Be biased in judgment. And they're not different mitzvahs. They're the same mitzvah. It's very weird. They're like legit contradictory. They're contradictory things telling us to judge unbiased and telling us to judge biased at the same time in the same mitzvah. Understand? Yeah? Are we good? Are we bothered? Are we not bothered? I mean, I'm bothered. Are you bothered? You're not sure. You're deciding whether or not you're bothered. Yeah, let's bother. Everyone else is deciding. Okay. Thank you for your knowledge.
Just one question.
Yeah. Sorry. Bracha and then Shalomit.
Just like, is it possible that we're just getting two totally separate mitzvot from one pasuk?
Is it possible?
Like, are they the
no,
same mitzvot?
Really, it is. I mean, Sefer HaChanach, again, let me read it to you inside because I just cut things because I didn't want it to be like super long, right? But Sefer HaChanach, here we are. Let me stop screen share so I can show you the actual Sefer HaChanach. I'm like, where am I? I don't know. Show self view. Okay,
like,
this is
a question of interesting placement. There's two mitzvahs that are opposite, put right next to one another.
Not really.
This is the same mitzvah.
Yeah, right. Meaning, here's Sefer HaChanach, mitzvah reish lamed hey, mitzvah shofet sheyishpot betzedek. Okay, a mitzvah upon a judge to judge favorably. Lishpot betzedek sheamar. Right? And it says, came bechlal b'mitzvah zo. And here we have that a person can't bias in judgment. Ve'od yesh bechlal mitzvah zo. And the other thing that's included in this mitzvah is that everybody has to judge. Sure, oh, sorry, one second. Ve'chein bechlal mitzvah zo is that everybody has to judge. Ve'od yesh bechlal mitzvah zo. And also included in this mitzvah is that everybody has to judge favorably.
Okay.
Right? So again, it's in the same thing, which is weird. Sefer HaChanach does. He does, and then he attempts to show how it's all from the same kind of root. You know what I mean? We're going to go with Rav Hirsch's Peirush on it. But like everybody seems to say, I don't think it's up for grabs whether or not it is or isn't the same mitzvah. Because the as we saw in Shavuos A, it's quoted from the same pasuk. You know what I mean? So Bracha, you're saying maybe there's two mitzvahs in the same pasuk. I don't know. I mean, I don't exactly think that's how it works. I think it's like these are the two parts of this Mishnah. Sorry, this pasuk. Gosh, guys. I'm in such a habit of saying Mishnah. All right, ready to go back? Okay.
I have a quick question.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Shalana. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Could it just be that it's the difference is, like, when, like, let's say with a judge, that's when, like, they actually hold, like, an outcome, I guess, in their judgment. Like, when you're day-to-day judging a person or not judging a person, like, their fate isn't lying in your hands. It's more just, like, how you're processing stuff in your own mind. Does that make sense?
Good. So you're saying that it's different, right? You're saying that one and two is different than number three.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think the question is like, almost let's take Bracha's question and flip it on its head. Why isn't this just two separate mitzvos?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't there two separate mitzvos? One of them is it's a mitzvah for judges to judge. And the second one is that people should judge favorably.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It's like, from this mitzvah, we learn these three things, two of which are contradictory.
Uh-huh.
So you're right, Shalama. It is a different scenario. It's telling you to do something differently. But what it's telling you, the root of justice here is contradictory. Is justice uh-huh. biased or is justice unbiased? If we're right. telling people to judge justly, one and two make it sound that justice is unbiased. And three makes it sound that justice is biased. So is it unbiased or is it biased? What is it? Now we're stuck. Okay? So that's where we are. Okay. So we're gonna jump back. We're gonna take a step out of ourselves and first try to think a little bit more deeply about this mitzvah. So let's talk about the Shor Sheh HaMitzvah, okay? Like why, where this might be coming from. What would you say, don't read it, this cheat sheet, I'm gonna go back to here. Okay, what would you say if you had to guess the Shor Sheh HaMitzvah is for one and two, not three, okay? Three is gonna be totally separate. There's gonna be a whole different set of Shor Sheh HaMitzvahs for three than there is for one and two. What's the point? It's pshat, okay? I'm not trying to trick you, unlike usual. Just kidding, not really. Okay, I'm not trying to trick you. What are the Shor Sheh HaMitzvah? To judge people favorably and to judge, if you can. Why is that a mitzvah? Come on, shot.
Wait, sorry, you're asking about two and three right now, not one.
One and two, sorry, one and two. Okay, leave out the one that's in red over here.
For a functioning society.
Good, very good. Okay, so basic functioning society, why, Yelet?
You have law and order, right? If everyone's being held accountable for actions as actions, then people have to take a trias and hopefully follow law.
Good, exactly. So the assumption behind one and two is that we're trying to have a most optimally functioning society in which there are rules and people have to follow the rules, and if they don't follow the rules, there's some sort of consequence. Right? We want society to basically function. That's exactly what the Sefer Chanuch says. Let's go in here. Can you guys still see my screen? Yeah? Okay, good. Okay, Sefer Chanuch, Shor Sheh HaMitzvah Nigla Hu. It's clear, right? It's pshat, basically. Ki behashvias hadin yisyashev ha'ulam. Right? There's much better civilization of the world, basically, when there's also good judgment. V'im yichabed hadin es ha'echad, mibale hadin al echad, yufachid baal hariv milahagid kol te'enosav lefonav. And what's the actual problem here? The actual problem, if you give preferential treatment to one over the other, is that the person who is enfranchised, basically, right, who's not the one given preferential treatment, will basically give up, and he'll despair, and he won't tell you what actually happened. He won't give you the facts on the table. And therefore, the judgment will be corrupted. Okay, and therefore, again, what's the problem? There won't be judgment that Yisyasheva Ulam, there won't be like a more civilized world. So basically the civilization of the world is dependent on judgment, on people being able to speak their cases truthfully in the court. Okay, and then again, for number two, for the second part, to judge at all if you're most qualified, Kechacham v'hayashar, a person who is qualified, Yadin din emes, will judge, has the most chance of judging a correct judgment. V'im hu yodea, lo yirtza lishpot yishpetum sha'ar m'nei adam, and if everyone knows, or if he knows that he's not going to be judging it, someone else will step into his place, and they won't be as good as him. She'enum chachamim v'yitu hadin ala echa mibale hadin b'li yadia. Right? Okay, and then the judgment will come about from someone who has even less knowledge than him, and that obviously will have less chance of being emistic. So according to this, number one and two over here, again, what's the basic point of them? Really, Baruchah said it in her question earlier, or her comment earlier, her observation. What's the point of number one and number two? What are we trying to get at? What's the root of it? Din MS, right? We're not giving preferential treatment. We're judging favorably because we want there to be MS and din. We want the din to be correct. Okay, what's the Shor Sheh HaMitzvah of number three? To judge people favorably. Here we go. Now we're going to number three. Totally different set of Shor Sheh HaMitzvah, right? Let's take our hats off of what we were thinking about number one and we're number two. We're even a little bit taking our hats off of what the pasuk sounds like it's saying in context. But tzedek tishpot amisecha, in justice you should judge your fellow. Right? Like we're almost taking our hats off and we're going back to Pirkei Avos. Here we are. We're finally back in the Mishnah, right? Where it says k'nei lecha chaver, say lecha rav, k'nei lecha chaver, v'havidon es kol adam chaschas. You should judge everybody favorably. Here we are. I think I have Avos somewhere over here. Okay, here, Avos 1:6. Yoshua ben Parachi Omer, Azei lecha rav, k'nei lecha chaver, v'havidon es kol adam chaschas. Beautiful. You should judge everybody favorably. What's the Shor Sheh HaMitzvah of that? It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. According to the Sefer Chinuch, it's a mitzvah min haTorah to judge people favorably. That's what this is telling us to do. Us, a layman, we're not judges. So one and two doesn't really apply to us. We'll get back there. Number one and two doesn't really apply to us, but number three certainly does. Mitzvah shefita b'tzedek for us in our daily lives means that we have to judge people favorably. What's the Shor Sheh HaMitzvah? Why do we have to do that?
I feel like it's a bi-directional reason. One is kind of vis-a-vis other people or broader society, meaning like it promotes happy relationships.
Good.
Uh-huh. The other, I think, is probably for our own selves, like just not having the means of being critical or being nitpicky.
Awesome. Okay, good. So Ayelet's first parish is the Sefer HaChinuch, okay? Very simple. Yihi siba lihiyos ben anashim shalom v'reyas. There should be peace. Okay? And then he goes on and says, like, here's how all three of them are related. We don't really have to say that. That's the parish of the Sefer HaChinuch. Okay? Very good, right? The first is that, like, listen, we live with other people. There's going to be things that we are in conflict about over other people. And as long as we are trying to see the good in other people, again, civilization will thrive as long as we're not all ripping each other's throats out over every conflict that we have. Okay? So judge people favorably so that society functions a little bit better. And Ayala's second point is very well taken, right? Ayala's second point is that maybe it actually doesn't have anything to do with those people. It's not as much about them as it is for us. So what's the difference for us? Right? She's saying it's a certain midah of looking at things positively. Ayala, I'm going to strengthen what you say, okay? Which is that in Shabbos 127a, right, there's a very famous quote that we probably have all heard, that Hashem judges us in the same way that we judge other people, okay? And this is again brought up. That if we judge other people favorably, Hashem will judge us favorably. Now, isn't that a strange thing to say? A little bit? Because, like, why does Hashem need to judge us favorably? Right? Here I'm basically like making the stakes are high of what Ayala just said. Why does Hashem need to judge us favorably? Hashem knows every single thing that happened. For us, we see someone doing something ambiguous. That's the case here. You see a Beinoni, you see someone who you're not sure he's a Tzaddik or a Rasha. He's doing something that's ambiguous, and you should judge him. If it's an ambiguous, you should judge him by like looking at the positive instead of the negative, or being able to interpret it positively instead of negatively, right? And again, in Shabbos 127, it says that Hashem judges us in the same way that we judge other people. But Hashem never has an ambiguous situation with us, does he? There is never an ambiguous situation. So what does it mean that Hashem judges us according to how we judge other people? Okay, there's this beautiful pierce that I saw. One second. There it is. Quoted. That I saw quoted. Sefer Shmiras HaLashon. Okay, Shar Tevuna, number 4. Okay, and he says this, that, listen, people, we're all human. Okay, and really, let's go back here. I underlined this in the Avos 1:6 anyways. Okay? This is Fas Emes. Have done es kol adam lechav schus. It doesn't say have done es kol adam lechav schus. You should judge every person. It says have done es kol ha adam lechav schus. You should see the whole person. And people are complicated. And lemaisa, when people do stuff, it's never either just good or just bad. And if we knew exactly where it's coming from, like God, maybe we can make that call, so to speak. But even if we could, even God looking at people sees that there's a muddle of good and bad motivating every action. As kol ha'adam. So what we're choosing to do when we judge people favorably isn't like fabricating some like ridiculous scenario in which what they were doing was actually okay in whatever circumstance, which I feel like is kind of how we're taught it, and it like left a weird flavor in my mouth at least, right? That's not what we're doing here. What we're doing here is that we're recognizing that when we see a person doing something, every time we see a person doing something, there's pieces of it that are good and there's pieces of it that are bad. And we are choosing to look at the pieces of it that are good and to pay more attention to those and to emphasize those when we look at that person. And in the same way, every action that we do that God might judge, we know and God knows, it's not black and white. It has pieces of it that are good and pieces of it that are bad. And when we look at other people and we look more heavily at the pieces that are good as of them, God looks at us and sees the pieces of us that are good. Right? It's a beautiful shot of like why it is that like there's this like metaphysical, I guess, like component of it if God knows all the facts on the ground. Okay, so I thought that was like super beautiful. What else? Like where else? Why else is this a mitzvah? What's the other reason that this is a Shor Shei mitzvah? Again, there's a bunch of answers. To judge everybody favorably, why is that important? Why is that? What's the Shor Shei mitzvah? What's the pshat, guys? Like, I don't know. Like, how do we learn this usually? I mean, I'll give you a good pshat. I want to take what you're saying and even bring it further because I think, again, you hit on like 3 or 4 different pieces in your like very in your brief summary. Right, the other piece of it is that maybe it's not really about them at all. It doesn't matter. It's about your own experience of the world around you. Right? And again, I think Ayala is saying almost like it's your own midos development. Like it's a midah not to be nitpicky. I love that. Right? It's also the influence that you're having of the outside world. If you look at the outside world and you see a bunch of people doing wrong, what does that do to you? It makes you like annoyed and jaded and nihilistic, and it also makes you more likely to do something wrong yourself because it normalizes people doing stuff wrong. And if you look at the world and what you see is the right, the little smidgens of right that people are doing, what does it do to you? It makes you optimistic, it makes you believe in other people, and it makes you more likely to do right yourself because that's what you're seeing in the world, right? So it's yes, it's for sure a mito development in yourself, but it's also like you determine your environment, which is, by the way, again, that's the pshat that we learned like 5 years ago. So don't worry, I'm not holding any of you accountable for it, right? But that's what we learned in this avos. So that's why it's in the Mishnah, exactly that Mishnah that talks about setting up your environment to influence you well. You have to get a rav, you have to get a good friend, and then you have to keep the rest of your environment as a positive influence. Okay, good. And again, both Ale Shor and Mechtav Me'eliyahu give, I think, the most pshat, I don't know the most pshat, but the most touted pshat that I've heard all the time, which is basically the shorash of this mitzvah, is that you can't ever judge anybody accurately, so you have to judge them favorably. Right, that the there's a Mishnah later in Pirkei Avos in two it says al tedeis chavercha ad shetagia limkomo. Right, you cannot judge your neighbor until you've come to his place. The point being, you're never in his place. Right, you can never judge somebody when you are not a judge in a court system. You're just a regular guy in everyday life. You can never judge everybody accurately. You never have all the facts on the table. You never understand where they're coming from. You could never judge them accurately, and therefore you have to judge them favorably. Right, so again, like that's actually a good pshat. I didn't think about that until we said it right now, right? But Ali Shor and Mechtav Me'eliyahu actually kind of have like a good pshat for this big question, right? Sure, if you're a judge in the court case and you have all the facts on the table, you're responsible for din, right? You're responsible to get the right answer about what happened. But in a situation where you have no idea what happened because you don't have all the facts on the table, there's no way for you to get it. In that kind of scenario, what you're responsible for is judging people favorably. Okay, Rav Hirsch takes it a little bit of a different way, and it's beautiful. The first thing I want to say about Rav Hirsch is that it's fascinating where he places this Mishnah in the Chorev. Okay, so the Chorev, I think I put it back on my shelf. The Chorev is Rav Hirsch's, his mapping out of the mitzvos and categorizing them. And for him, Heavy Donuts Kol Adam D'Chav Schos, really, B'tzadik Tishpura Misecha, it comes up again in Din later on. But it's also in Toros, in his first section called Toros. And Toros are defined as this: fundamental principles relating to the mental and spiritual preparation for life. Basically, perspectives. Okay, it's number 20 of 20. It's the last Mishnah that relates to how we are supposed to look at the world around us. So again, right, it kind of works with that. Like this is, it's a way of looking at the world. That's what's different. Okay, here's Rav Hirsch. Let's do the setup before we read Rav Hirsch. Okay, we're back into this contradiction. It's beautiful. We understand the Shoshei Mitzvah. We're trying to get to Din Emes. We're trying to get to the real Din. We're trying to understand whether or not what happened. Something happened. They're coming to the court case, right? They're coming into court. Something happened. We're trying to understand if what happened was or wasn't according to Halacha. Okay? That's what's happening. One, number one. Number two, the less biased we are, the more likely we are to get to Din Emes. The third piece of this, Dan Lakafskos, the point is, again, the civilization and peace between people, the point is to grow both within us in terms of mitos, but also in terms of our influence by our surroundings, a certain positive influence, okay? The positivity or optimism and, motivation towards goodness ourselves, okay? But we still have this basic contradiction between the first and the second pieces of it. And we don't know how they work together. How do these pieces of the puzzle work together? How can we say that we are both biased and unbiased? And Rav Hirsch is saying that the basic issue here is not in terms of who's doing the judgment, but it is in terms of what is being judged. In the first two, let's go back to there. In the first two pieces of this, where are we? Well, let's get this one. In the first two pieces of this, what is being judged is an action. And in the third one, what is being judged?
A person.
And he's saying that is the essential difference between this. It isn't telling you different pieces of justice. It's telling you justice applies differently if what's being judged is an action or what's being judged is a person. And that's why I think that Rav Hirsch's moral relates to us even not as judges, okay? And here's where he goes with it, okay? Here's what he shows us. And he goes on and on and on and pages, and I just have to, fit it all in here, okay? So again, he just points out, the stakes of the game of justice in the courtroom. The community, through the judicial institutions, meaning through the court, is in a position of power vis-a-vis the individual. This position is not to be misused for injustice and caprice. Okay, and again, he has more on that, but I thought that was like a beautiful line, right? The community, the us Jews belonging to a community, we sell our souls basically to the court system. They're the things that have the most power over the individual. The court has the most power over the individual, and that's why there are tons and tons and tons of halachos, again, about fairness in court, this being one pasuk who goes into it. Okay, here we go. Informing your judgment and giving your verdict. He's now talking about number one and two. Okay, so talking to judges. Informing your judgment and giving your verdict. Pay no attention to the personality of the litigants. The people do not matter in the court. It's harsh, but it's true. The people who walk into the court have nothing to do with the court system, have nothing to do with justice, according to Rav Hirsch. An axiom of Jewish law is that a judge who does not know the litigants will reach a fair decision. And if he knows them, he is to forget who they are. That's what the judge is required to do. When people walk into the court, you don't care who the people are. That is not what you're paying attention to. The duty of a judge in a court of justice is to examine only the act itself, whether it is in accordance with the dictates of justice or not. He should disregard all the individual and personal circumstances and motives. Anything, why the person did it, who they are, where it's coming from, it does not matter. The judge is only judging the action. Exactly the opposite is true when you are judging the person. Society, on the other hand, is interested primarily in the personality and character. In society's view, every action is merely a symptom of the integrity or an inadequacy of its members. When we are judging each other, okay, let me just finish this. In the same this same attribute of judges dictates that out in society, we should take into account all the possible circumstances that might justify the person and his character. In the court system, people have to be irrelevant because the only thing that has to matter is the situation at hand. Even more so, I was thinking about this, right? If you're a judge and somebody murdered somebody, right? And there's a court case and you know that they murdered somebody, and then you know that they did tshuva and they super regret it and they give you like the whole circumstances of why they did it and you see that they're like a victim of their circumstances and you feel so bad for them and they do full tshuva and they beg for forgiveness, whatever, like you still carry out the sentence in the court. The person and the person's own experience of what's happening is like irrelevant to the judgment that is passed on them and like the recompense they have to pay according to the court system. The exact opposite is true in society. In society, we don't look at actions. It's just not how we work as humans. We don't look at other people's actions. We look at people and we see their actions as a reflection of themselves. We don't look at their action. We don't look at their actions as being separate from themselves like we do in the court. We look at their actions and from their actions, we deduce judgments about their personality and about their character. That's how we work as humans. And our verse is saying, when we do that, when we look at the actions and from that we judge the character, that's when we have to davka, do exactly again what we're not doing in the court system. We have to take into account the personality. We have to take into account the character. We have to take into account where this person is coming from and where they might be going and how they might be feeling afterwards. And even if we saw them doing something wrong, we assume that they did tshuva, right? It's like legit the opposite kind of mental mechanism, because it's a very different, because what we're judging is absolutely different. So when we judge people, we have to take into account their personality, their character, their circumstances, their backgrounds. And when we judge actions, we have to take into account only the actions and whether or not it was right or wrong. I was teaching Chol Brura on Motzei Shabbos here, and we were doing the Mishnah of Shimon ben Sheta, that have a marba lachkor asa'idim, shami, I don't know if I can quote it by heart, that you have to, have a marba lachkor asa'idim, the have a zahir bidvaracha, shema mitocham yul medula shaker. Okay? Make sure to question the witnesses, and be careful of how you speak to them, lest they learn to lie from you. Okay? And one of the young women there asked, she said, like, we got into the whole discussion about it, and she was like all stressed out about, I'm actually going to stop the recording now. Hold on a second. Here we go.